We're going to, Mirat Hashem, the next couple of weeks until Shavuos, try to cover as many of the 48 Kinyani Torah that Chazal speak of in the sixth parak of Perkei Avos. Now, obviously, we don't have enough time for all 48, and we're starting a little bit late, and the Shabbos and days we won't be meeting. So let's just try to select those that aren't so obvious. So, for example, the first meet is the Talmud. That's the obvious one. You can't acquire Torah without learning. It's not a magic show. But one of the interesting phrases, and I'm not going to go in order, I'll just pick different traits, is besimcha. It's to be kohen a Torah besimcha. What role does simcha play in the kinyan of Torah? So first of all, you have to define simcha, because very often we define simcha as happiness or joy, and those are good English translations, but sometimes they get blurred with lightheadedness and emotional outbursts, or the Rambam in Hilchos Deos speaks about the middle path. Is there a Rambam here? Maybe if I find a Rambam. Is that a Rambam in Deos? See the Rambam's here. Between Simcha and Tzchok. And Tzchok is what we would say is lightheadedness, joking, laughing. And Simcha doesn't have to be laughing. Simcha, I would say, is more contentment, fulfillment, being at peace with yourself, feeling your purpose in this world, feeling whole, feeling... It's the joy that comes from contentment, from completion, from... It's a more mature joy than just happiness and dancing, and although dancing could be part of it, it could be a manifestation of it. So the Rambam writes in the Hilchos Deos, try to find it. Lo yehe, this is in Hilchos Deos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet. Lo yehe muhulal v'sochek. You shouldn't be laughing and dancing. V'lo atzei ve'onen. You shouldn't be sad and morose and heavy. Ela sameach kol yamav. So there's obviously the contrast between simcha and tzchok. And how does the Rambam describe sameach kol yamav? Benachas v'sever panam yafas. That's the Rambam's description for simcha. Nachas, we would say calm. Pleasant, easy, complete, not being torn inside, not being in conflict, not being frustrated. And that allows you to be Sarah Panam Yafos. That allows you to embrace people, to be a calming presence, to be a good friend, to be a good spouse, to be a... Just when you're complete inside, it's easier for you to be embracing the people. When you're torn inside, when there's conflict inside, it's harder to embrace other people. So whenever Chazal speak about Simcha, they're not referring to elated joy, as we would say. It's more an inner feeling of contentment and purpose. And that's what Chazal are trying to capture in this Mishnah, that you have to learn Mitoch Simcha. Now, why should you learn Mitoch Simcha? For two reasons. First of all, because if learning is too difficult and too taxing and too onerous and too frustrating, then it's hard to sustain, just practically. And that's why Chazal and the Gemara of Avodah Zarah speak about Ein Adam Lamed Ela Eifa Shaliba Chafetz. And you have to find your chelek in Torah, and you have to find the area that excites you. And although there are certain parts of Torah that are obligated for everyone, and you can say, I'm not going to learn halacha, I'm not going to learn chamisha chamshei Torah, but you have to migrate towards areas of Torah that are your chelek. You say in chalkeinu b'sarasecha, because that will motivate you more, because you'll sense that contentment, you'll sense that happiness, that connection. But what's interesting is that simcha is not just a facilitator practically, that if you learn Torah in a way that makes you content and you enjoy it and it's pleasant to you, then you'll learn more. It's also an epistemological agent, namely the actual study. We think that studying Torah is purely cognitive and purely intellectual and purely how strong your brain works and how well your analytical tools are and how much time you spent in my shir, and I'm just teasing. And the truth is that simcha and happiness plays a very deep role in the actual acquisition of knowledge. Why is that true? Well, Rav Huttner writes about this in two places in Hilchos Chanukah, what role simcha plays in the actual learning, not just to assure that you'll learn and that you'll be committed to it, but if you learn it from a position of joy, engagement, satisfaction, rather than strain and stress and frustration, the learning will be more successful. Number one, because simcha is probably the deepest emotion a person can feel. The deep inner contentment is if you were to build an emotional scale, and let's say anger would be the most external emotion. Anger is an external force that takes control of you. So it can take control of you to a way that becomes so toxic and it consumes you that you're always feeling anger. But it's an emotion that's layered above you. It's not something that has to make you angry, and then your pride can sustain the anger. So you can sustain that foreign element that's in your system, but it's not your identity. It's not your essence. It can become your constant state of mind, but it's a layered emotion. If you dig deeper in the emotional ladder, joy, contentment, if you're able to reach it and sense it and feel it, it's probably one of the deepest emotions. So when you're learning Torah, and learning is an emotional experience as well, to solve a math equation, it's not emotional investment. But Torah is something, Rav Lichtenstein once said that if you don't understand a Tosfos, it's not an intellectual flaw, it's a moral flaw. Because if you cared about it enough and you saw it as a Devar Hashem, you'd learn it. So that emotional connection, that ability to learn with your deepest intellect, or in deepest emotional essence, can only be attained when you learn Torah out of joy and out of simcha. At a different location, Rav Kook, and it's also, I think Rav Hotner talks, not Rav Kook, Rav Hotner talks about the joy of discovery, that there has to be, we live in a society that has a hard time feeling awe. These are my words, obviously, but this is more or less what I think he's gaining. That when's the last time you felt excited by something you discovered that you didn't know before, and it caused a sense of the awe that I'm seeing something new, and that it's called intellectual curiosity, excitement, the euphoria of discovery. The problem is our world feels very discovered. Our world feels as if we've laid everything bare and science has revealed all the secrets, and we don't live in a magical, mystical world anymore. We live in a world of science and data, and there's an answer, and it's really Google that has de-awed us, because everything is available in Google, so there's no sense of discovery, because everything is one click away from access point. And when the Rambam talks about this in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, that when you study Hashem's world or word, whether Torah or Hashem's world, you feel this elation of discovering something new, and that creates a desire and a passion to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how the Rambam describes the road to Avas Hashem. So that's one aspect Rav Hutner talks about, and how simcha can facilitate the actual learning. The second aspect he talks about is retention. Right? If I play a musical song right now from 2017, when you were in high school, and that was a song you really liked listening to, or if I tell you about an exciting game, a championship game of your team, that will serve as an index to other experiences you had during that moment. Oh, I was in camp so-and-so when I heard that song. I was in grade so-and-so, friendly with so-and-such and such when the Yankees won or when the team won or something. Because these are very, very deeply rooted in your emotions, and they serve as indexes for your life. You're able to access other parts of your life by association. You associate, it's just like an index, oh, that's where the page is, or that's where the sefer is. You associate experiences through deeply rooted emotions. Well, simcha is a very deeply rooted emotion. If you associate simcha, right, you remember in life, you don't remember the average day. The average day fades out of memory. What do you remember? The high emotional moments, the moments of sadness, frustration, and tragedy, and the moments of happiness and satisfaction. You remember your bar mitzvah. You remember a family simcha. You remember a family strain, a family tragedy, a family fight. You don't really remember the average day-to-day lunch and the average day-to-day doctor's appointment. It's the larger issues you remember. So simcha, you're apt to remember more. So if when you're learning, you're feeling that simcha, then conceivably that learning will root itself to a deeper level of your subconscious, and you'll be able to retain it down the line. So learning mitel simcha, Futner says, won't just be facilitated because you're engaging your emotional deeper layers of identity. It's also by association that simcha will serve to create an index for the Torah, and vice versa, the Torah will create an index for the simcha you feel. So it's an interesting question. Why is simcha so valuable for learning? What is simcha and its value of learning? It's not something just to take for granted and to read quickly. How can you put yourself into a state of simcha of learning that shouldn't be artificial? And let's face it, learning is hard, learning is difficult. So you're not going to feel the simcha of learning the same way you'll feel the simcha when you're playing basketball or when you're having a barbecue. It's not relaxation or entertainment or recreation. It's a sense of purpose that this is Hashem's world, and I feel more redeemed by having acquired more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and more complete by having acquired more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And that feeling can help me learn Torah better in the moment and retain Torah better down the line. Okay, so we'll try every morning to briefly touch upon some of these kinyanim. Okay.